Yo, Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean. How you doing today on the Freedom Fiends? Okay. Yeah. So, we're taking calls today. Nima's been droned. So if you want to call in, the call-in number is 307-215-5171. Yeah.
I think say
that's how it works.
Simplify it. Two would be the most I would ever want to use.
Ian runs LRN off one computer, and it's got an old computer. It's like a Pentium 1 or Pentium 2, with some extra RAM, but like it's not a bank of computers like most radio stations are run with.
My philosophy is clever routing and maybe external pieces, external sound cards, mixers, whatever it takes, and route it cleverly and try to stick to as few computers as possible. With the delay, I don't know if you really can, as far as the one you were talking about. I don't know if you can just use one, but try to use two, just two, man.
I'm going to use five. I'm using three right now, and it's never a problem. The problems we were having were either on the LRN side or in the central scrutinizer, man, in the middle side somehow.
Sure.
No, it was, man. Everything worked on my side. Yeah. And what did I do when it went wrong? I called Ian. I put on some bomb music, and I set up a mic for DJ, in seconds. I can troubleshoot, man. I can troubleshoot. I don't like to.
Okay.
My heart's pounding right now, and I'm, confused and would rather have been talking about Liberty for 20 minutes now, but instead I was troubleshooting.
Well, hell, man, talk about some Liberty.
Well, let's talk about some tyranny. Let's talk about
seems to be a lot more of that.
How Obama took the bolts out of the M1 Grand rifles that were carried by the Marines, and
although it seems counterintuitive to me that people are upset about this. I mean, hey, that's great, man. He took the bolts out of the military's guns. Why doesn't he do that with every branch of the military all the time?
I think it's really significant because the Marines that are chosen to walk with the president symbolically are like the cream of the crop. I know someone that's in the Army and they said, you'll never be on a presidential detail because you have a tattoo that shows over your uniform. You know, it's like they are the most respectable. And I think that for most of history, the Marines walking with the president would lay down their lives for the president. Regardless of who the president is, they are the kind of people that absolutely respect the office. And the fact that, the Secret Service and or Obama have said, we can't trust those guys anymore. I think it's kind of neat. I think it's showing the cracks in the palace wall.
Yeah. That's definitely a good thing. I would like to see all of the guns taken away from the government, as vis-a-vis my song, a gun for everyone except the government. So, I don't know. I guess it made me smile to see the Marines marching with no bolts in their rifles. Because I know I still got a bolt in my rifle. And if the president told me to take it out, I'd tell him to shove it up his ass.
His ascot.
We can't cuss anymore.
Shove it up his ascot. Didn't you use the word ascot in Iron Me?
Yeah.
What's the line?
Ascots are just so gay.
What's the line? Not gay like homosexual, but gay like,
gay like fruity, like lame, like stupid.
Yeah. They are gayer than a pile of men having sex. And a pile of men having sex is a good thing. Anybody wearing an ascot is not a good thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Ascot, someone said.
Ascot. Oh, yeah, we're in the chat room, too. I forgot about the chat room. Sorry, guys.
I pretty much forgot about the chat room, too, except to see if things were working. It's the Fiend sourcing. So, I was listening to some talk radio last night, and they spent about 10 minutes talking about their process, and it bored me. So let's get back to talking.
Okay. Do you have more things to say about them disarming these Marines? Also,
I could talk about it for hours. I'd like to talk about it for a little while longer.
Was it just this one contingent? Is there always just one group of Marines during an inauguration? Has he marched since then with disarmed Marines? Were there other armed forces that were disarmed or not disarmed?
Weren't there disarmed Marines at Benghazi, and wasn't that the problem? Weren't there guys guarding an embassy with clubs, guns that were clubs instead of guns?
Right, right. Yeah. Although I don't know if the guns were disabled. I think they just didn't have ammo or weren't loaded.
A gun without ammo is a rifle without ammo is a club, to quote Boston Tea Party, and a pistol without ammo is a rock. And, you know, when they usually march, they don't have ammo in them, but they have a bolt and they're operational. I think they were afraid that, like, you know, somebody would work it out and, like, someone in the crowd would roll a 30-06 round over to one of them. And, you know, the cream of the crop of Marines with an M1 Garand don't require 30-round mags. The Marines' motto is one shot, one kill. I think I've heard that part of it is that the Marines are more upset than any other branch of military about
because of Benghazi.
Adding gays and adding women to the forces. They're resisting it. They don't like it as a whole.
Why would they be upset about adding gays and women more so than other branches?
I don't know. Because they're tougher? I don't know, man. But
They're more macho. I know they have a saying that, the Marines is a department of the Navy. It's the men's department. I've seen that on bumper stickers. So I know they're sort of machismo in some ways.
Speaking of which, I made a bumper sticker. If anybody wants to print any, you can go to the Freedom Fiends blog. It's kind of a takeoff on those get your laws off my body thing, you know, the pro-choice things, which I have no problem with pro-choice, but I made one that was the same color and font and says, get your gun laws off my body. Nice. I think that'd be a good one to put on your car in Florida. I mean, California. Florida.
Anywhere, man. Anywhere and everywhere.
Scrambles the death dealer. So all our friends on the East Coast who are dealing with Snowy the death dealer, hope you are warm and toasty and holding your kitties tight.
Yes. And we'll be back very soon.
Using your hand-powered internet radios. Yeah.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends. This is the live Sunday show. We are not to be stopped. No snow, no sleet, no hail. No Saturday, no Sunday, no weekend will stop us. And various other things. Here you go.
The deadliest weapon in the world is a Marine and his rifle. It is your killer instinct, which must be harnessed if you expect to survive in combat. Your rifle is only a tool. It is a hard heart that kills. If your killer instincts are not clean and strong, you will hesitate at the moment of truth. You will not kill. You will become dead Marine. And then you will be in a world of shit, because Marines are not allowed to die without permission. Do you maggots understand?
Sir! Yes, sir!
Outstanding, Private Pyle. I think we finally found something that you do well.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, of course, a clip from Full Metal Jacket. Now, why did you feel so strongly about playing that clip, Michael?
Well, actually, it was that's a good clip, but there was another clip, something about, I don't know. I don't want to get droned today, but that is the Marine attitude, and that's accurate. A lot of Marines like that movie because it's accurate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's why the Obama administration has decided to neuter the guns of the ceremonial marching Marines. Here's what it is. It historically goes back to the Praetorian Guard, which was, you know, they killed all the Caesars. I mean, a lot of when people take everything from everybody and then insulate themselves from everybody and think they're safe, they're probably not. And historically, I'm not saying anything about our president or anybody should do anything. I'm saying nothing like that. I'm saying historically, it hasn't worked out. And the harder the people in power push at the people, the harder the people want to push back, and the more the people in power insulate themselves with armed guards, and the armed guards eventually turn on them, because there's no accounting for human mentality, human not doing what it's told to do. A perfect example, and I want to lead into this, is that cop in LA who's a trained military man with who had a top secret clearance, which you don't get easily. This one slipped through the cracks, and he's gone to war with the LAPD and still hasn't been caught, and is probably hiding out in the snow up in the mountains. They don't know where, but, you know, they're shooting people on the street who have a car that remotely looks like him. They're kicking down doors. They're going in without a warrant. They are acting like, you know, pretty much like American soldiers act in other countries. The LAPD are acting like,
and
it's just proof. You know, I think that Obama does want to disarm all of the military and replace them with drones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, what I wonder about the Marines, though, is I guess I can kind of understand this conflict, but to me, it's like an old married couple or something. I mean, the Marines are always doing what the president tells them. I mean, why are the Marines in various countries? What's that old song they sing, you know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli? And that was hundreds of years ago, before the current Libya war. So, I mean, it seems like that's the Marines' job, is to be the one of the president's killing forces and the military-industrial complex's killing forces. So, I don't know. I guess I don't ever see the Marines really turning on the president. Do you?
Well, there is the Oath Keepers, and there's the Oath Keeper concept, which didn't exist before Obama, and I don't think it's necessarily because of Obama. Actually, I think it existed at the end of George Bush. The idea of military and law enforcement who take an oath to the Constitution. Now, put on your minarchist hat for a minute, because you're really going to get this wrong and say stuff that doesn't even factor in here. If you're like, well, yes, but they're an anarchist, and I didn't sign the Constitution, and neither did they, because I can hear you going there already. There are a lot of people who believe the Constitution is handed down from God or something, or George Washington or Jefferson, and they literally will defend. They'll lose their life to defend it, and they believe they will, and no value judgment on them. There are millions of Americans who feel that way, and there are probably a higher percentage of them in the military than anywhere. And they take an oath to respect the Constitution, to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So does the president. There's been a lot of chatter since the end of George Bush, when people finally started waking up, to now, that they are just shredding the Constitution. And there are a lot of people in the military who are like, hey, you know, I mean, it's kind of a weird situation, because it's like, you know, you're supposed to defend the president no matter what. He's your commander in chief. But there's a lot of people saying, you know, there are people in the military saying he ain't my president. So that's why I think they're disarming the Royal Guard.
Okay. I can see that. I guess I just want to guard against any kind of glorifying of the thought that the military would do something, defend our freedoms against an enemy domestic vis-a-vis Obama. Because whenever that kind of thing happens, whenever it's a conflict of the military versus the civilian leadership and the military wins, then you have a military coup and things tend to get worse and more violent. I mean, do we want the people who are soaked in blood all the time running the world? I mean, I know the president is also soaked in blood, but that's blood that, I don't know, is far away. He's not knee deep in it.
He's remotely soaked with blood. Yeah.
Exactly.
Military coups. I mean, look at Egypt. You know, the Egyptian army last year basically they were acting as oath keepers for their country, for the freedom of their country.
Right.
And then as soon as they were in power, they started acting worse than Hitler, right?
I don't know about worse than Hitler, but
they weren't any better than the guy that they were protecting.
It wasn't a lib pair or a dem pair everybody was in the streets. And then they're still in the streets protesting, and there's going to be some people are calling it a counter-revolution, but there's still unrest there. I mean, they still don't have the society they want to have, and I don't know if they ever will, you know, at least in the immediate future.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. Yeah. I don't know. I know you kind of wanted to get off this topic a while ago. I think we've beaten this topic to death with a club made of an
M1 Garand without a bolt.
an M1 Garand with its balls cut off. So yeah. I just want to say, my cat has a long tail. My cat has a long tail. You know what that is?
Sounds like some kind of code. I don't think we should explain what the code means. Otherwise, the central scrutinizer will drone us.
Well, I can't explain what my cat has a long tail is, but in the original movie, we talked about this before, in the original movie Red Dawn, there's like American Forces Freedom Radio being broadcast into the occupied territory where it's taking place. And, you know, they'll play like a Creedence Clearwater Revival song and give the weather, and then she'll say, John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache, which is kind of a reference to in World War II and other times when America has illegally broadcast into other countries for the sake of what they think is freedom. They would put code words in there that would mean things to people in the occupied territory. And I just watched the new Red Dawn, which is friggin' awesome. Did you see it?
Nope.
Okay, it was on YouTube yesterday. I don't know how long it's going to stay up there, but you know, I don't want to tell anyone to go get torrents or anything, but YouTube.
Should just play Red Dawn from YouTube for the rest of the show. Let me check on YouTube right
there
now.
There you go. But in the new Red Dawn, instead of John has a long mustache, it's the chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. And that's the name of today's cast. Because the Freedom Fiends are the armed forces radio of the millennium. We're armed, but we're not forces, but we are I would say us and Free Talk Live are the two
things. We're resistance radio, man.
Okay,
we're not the armed forces radio. We're not
government
funded state propaganda beamed into people's to win hearts and minds,
but
supposedly, man.
We are in free territory. I mean, New Hampshire and Wyoming and Texas aren't free territory, but our homes are. You know,
yeah.
Ian's home, your home, and my home. So we are broadcasting from free territory into occupied territory. And
there you go.
My cat has a long tail. My cat has a long tail.
My stomach is round and bulbous.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of the Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Fiends. Yo, Fiends.
What's up, Nima?
Chilla. What's up with you?
My cat has a long tail. My cat has a long tail.
Yeah.
We have to do our station ID. I'll do our station ID.
All right, do it.
You're listening to Radio Free America. Radio Free America. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends on Radio Free America. Radio Free America is a subsidiary of the Angry Peasant Podcasting Company, an arm of the Angry Peasant Media Corporation, broadcast in conjunction with the Liberty Radio Network, made possible with a grant from the Ian Friedman Foundation and the generous donation of fiends like you.
Freedom Fiends! Freedom Fiends! Freedom Fiends!
Radio Free America. RFM, man. That's us.
Merca.
Radio Free America. Like Merca. I like that, man. That'd be good for
for an ad or a bump or
Radio Free 10
second liner. I guess it was longer than 10 seconds. Yes.
With generous donations from fiends like you. Speaking of the NPR pervert voice. So do you know about Code Pink razzing the confirmation of the new drones are?
Yeah, that was awesome. God, John Brennan looks like such a douche. I'd never seen him in real life before, but man, I just wanted him to cry and go home and realize what an a-hole he is. Because the camera would pan to him and his face would be like, what are these young people doing today? And I'm just like, God, you're a freaking evil murderer who's a tax parasite. You're a freaking welfare mom, you bum. I don't even know what to call him, but
yeah.
He was such a douche. And then Feinstein was all so flustered. God, I hate Dianne Feinstein. And
anything that ruins her day makes me happy. I don't always like Code Pink. I did a blog post about this on the Freedom Fiends blog. You can go check it out. Code Pink are noisy socialists, screeching socialists, but they're the only people. They're some of the only left who's still noisily screeching against the war now that Obama's in, and I like that because everyone else is like, Obama gave me a phone. Obama's going to give me health care. I don't care if he's killing brown people all over the world, which I think that's racist. But so I like anything. I like them. I like Cindy Sheehan. I like, Oliver Stone, who used to be a screechy, almost communist, is saying Obama's like George Bush, but worse. And that's a good thing. I kind of
believe
he
said some kind words about Ron Paul in the 2012 election, which we have a say. We should probably talk a little bit about Ron Paul today as well.
I don't know. I got to get more information. I need more information on that.
I looked up some more information, but I think we should talk about it still.
Okay. I just want to say that when I was seeing Feinstein freaking out about one Code Pink woman after another screeching and reading names of drone victims at that confirmation, I couldn't help but think about that Parks and Rec where they have the Parks Department from Caracas come up. Was it Caracas?
Yeah.
And he's like, where are the police to take these protesters away? why don't they shoot them? I just think that they're not going to have those things in public anymore. Boston Tea Party said that he believes that when they finally outlaw weapons, the vote or the procedure that makes it legal is probably going to be done over the internet or over teleconferencing. The senators are not going to gather in one place and outlaw guns. They'd be too afraid to.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. I don't know why they do stuff like that in public anyway, because I kind of feel like they probably make the decisions elsewhere in a back room. And what they show in public is just a dog and pony show anyway.
Well,
I don't think the decisions are made there, just like city councils. I don't think.
We've jokingly said why do they even go through the effort anymore of pretending like there's a democratic process? But they're kind of not doing that. And I don't go, why do they even bother? I'm like, why are they? This is horrible. The drone memo. The drone memo basically says we don't have to have any process anymore other than a CIA lawyer typing up a document to kill Americans.
Right. Although Marcy Wheeler was on the Scott Horton show saying that she thinks the white paper was kind of a misdirect, because the senators who were asking for it, after they got the white paper, they were like, no, we want the real justification. Like, they had seen some of this before, and they're like, no, that's, you're just giving us some justifications that you're okay with being leaked to the public. We want the real process. So
Semper Worms. Semper Worms.
I don't know.
My cat has a long tail.
My thing is, I don't give a crap about the process, man. This reminds me of a statist ex-friend of mine who I had been talking to, and I was debating anarchism with him, and I was like, I used that old thing where, you know, well, hey, if 99% of the people in your neighborhood decided to bust down your door and anally rape you to death, would you be okay with that? And he's like, no, I would, that would really suck, but I would appreciate the process. And literally, I couldn't stop lolling, because really, you would appreciate the process. And I guess my point is, I don't care about the process. I don't care if you have some kind of fancy machine like in Mousetrap and that decides it, or if you have a long thought out discussion in a brainstorming session about what evil things to do and how to do them. All I care is what you do. The process makes no difference to me. The due process, I could care less about.
David LeBoy said that he heard the drone mamas, the anti-drone mamas, the Code Pink people. Code Pink are also very anti-gun, which I don't like about them. But, you know, when it comes to being screechy socialists, yelling, you know, making Feinstein have a bad day and pointing out that these people are murderers, I say, go, screechy socialist, go. It's all good.
Do that.
But
yeah.
David LeBoy
said, they're
doing
some work. That's good.
He heard them talking on NPR, on the liquid lobotomizer for liberals that is NPR, he said. And he said the tone, the commentary was very, oh, these poor harried public servants.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You say really? You say really? I mean, NPR, you know, the right screeches about how they're, you know, an arm for the leftists, but really they're an arm for the state. I mean, it's National Public Radio. Think about the name of it.
Right.
Think about LBJ started it, man. It is
it is
the government's arm of, like, we're going to, it's basically their attempt at pretending to have transparency. That's what NPR
is. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. That just, it boggles my mind, because I can't tell if the person who said that, if the people who think that or say it on NPR really actually think it, or if that's just their job and they're doing their job. Their job is to be shills for the state. Or if they really buy this, that John Brennan is a public servant. And this kind of stuff is everywhere. Like, even there was an Associated Press report that I saw. It was carried in our local campus, the University of Texas campus newspaper. And it said, you know, people were calling into question the anti-terror drone strikes. And even to call it the anti-terror drone strikes, you buy the premise.
Well,
and this is so embedded in any mainstream reporting or any mainstream discussion on the subject, is you buy the premise that these people are just trying to do good. And if there's something untoward happening, it's because of some slight corruption or some process that needs to be changed.
I just recently finished reading the NPR handbook on audio reporting, which is a real window into their world. And it's written, you know, it's available to the public, but it was originally written for people working at NPR or wanting to work at NPR. And it basically sets the tone and tells you how to work at NPR, whether you're, you know, sharpening the pencils, or you're the on-air personality, or you're the president of a local affiliate. And basically what the impression I get is the people that work there feel like they are an important part of the democratic process, and they believe that they can change things. Sort of like, you know, most liberty people believe they can change things by complaining, which is why we tend away from it as much as possible. You know, they really think that this is, they, people at NPR think NPR is the pinnacle of democracy in action. And they believe it's actual transparency. And they do kick the hornet's nest sometimes. I mean, they will go after the Pentagon and say, like, you're spending too much money on bombs and should spend more of that money on schools. And they don't ever examine the should we be stealing money kind of thing at all, or even any kind of minarchist attitude of it. They never promote anything other than we need to keep stealing a bunch of money and distribute it in a more fair to us way. That's what they believe.
We need to make the government do what we want the government to do.
Yeah, they fundamentally believe government is a great thing, and they believe that the American government is the greatest government ever, and that it can be fixed by intelligently pointing out where they think it's wrong.
Well, I also think they tend to think of government as a foregone conclusion. It never enters their imagination or their mind that there could be a solution not tied to or stemming from the government, because they think the government is a part of every piece of human life, and it should be. And so that's, I think that that's why their tactics are to change what the government does, change who the government helps, and where the stolen money goes to, is because it just never enters their mind that, that there'd be anything but some government. And if we're not forcing it to do what we want it to do, then those dirty rednecks in flyover country who vote Republican will decide where the money goes and what to do.
You know, a lot of NPR is directed at the dirty Republican. I mean, a lot of it is like they have a lot of stuff for farmers, for rural people, but it's like subtly trying to indoctrinate them to, hey,
yeah,
the way it's going,
we'll
is good.
We'll give you all this fat subsidy if yeah. you just grow green and yep. invest in green energy.
The only mention of no government they have is if they're talking about like anarchists in Seattle burning things or warlords in Somalia who aren't sanctioned by the
right.
UN.
We'll be back.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
The worm has a long mustache. The worm has a long mustache. What's that, Nima Vedotti?
What's up, man? Yeah.
We got a movie star here. We got a very dapper, Woo. Dapper and smart movie star.
Oh, hi.
I do believe I'm catching the vapors.
Hey. I'm catching the vapors. Yeah, we got Derek J. Freeman, the star of Derek J.'s Victimless Crime Spree. How you doing, Derek?
I'm great, ladies. How are you tonight?
Are we ladies?
Oh, we're just fine.
Well, yeah. No, I'm doing great. And I was really enjoying, you know, all the commentary about the bolts. You really did say everything there is to say about those bolts. And I was curious. That, you know, you were the one who broke that story to me just like an hour ago or whatever. But that is fascinating. I really do think that Obama doesn't trust his people.
I'm still on ladies. I'm like...
Oh, I hope you aren't offended.
You offended Mr. Michael.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I've had a lot of things up my butt, but I'm no lady. And you know what? You look, to quote Nick Cave, you look like you just stepped right out of the book of Leviticus.
Well, I'm doing great, and I'm thrilled that you're having me on. You know, I've got a DVD coming out. You know a thing or two about it, being the one who helped me get in touch with the DVD distributors. Let's say we talk about it.
Oh, I got you a deal, basically. Yeah, with MVD, Music Video Distributors, who has put out every DVD I've done, which is a good thing, and got you a deal with them. And they are good people, and they worked with you and Ian, to Ian, the executive producer, to make them available less expensive, and you guys took less of a cut so you could get more of them out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, this project is not about making money. You know, there are some things that I do in my life that are to make money. This is not one of them. This is just a pure message thing. I want people to be able to enjoy the movie and learn the lessons that I learned without themselves getting arrested.
But people do get some things if they buy the DVD that they don't get otherwise. We've seen the movie on, I think it was on YouTube. We watched it somehow, and I thoroughly enjoyed the movie and thought it was awesome. And I think we did an episode where we just pretty much talked about that, and I believe you did call in on that episode.
Yeah.
And what there's DVD extras. What can we look forward to if we get a hold of the DVD?
Well, in addition to the full-length feature film with a recut audio soundtrack that has no copyrighted material, you get to enjoy...
That was my suggestion.
Yeah, and a swell one at that, because now people can
broadcast it. They can do anything. You know, right. And a lot of people would say, like, hey, man, you're not a real anarchist, Michael, because you're worried about copyright. And it's like, I'm worried about copyright in that I don't want people pointing guns at Derek J's head because they tried to share something lovingly that Derek J put out. So I said, you know, use music that, you know, pod free, pod safe music, or music that friends did that you have permission to use. And I think that's a good tip for filmmakers. What tips do you have for people that want to do video activism, feature length video activism?
I still don't know what the DVD extras are.
Questions now, yeah. So I'll tackle Nima's first.
You're gonna tackle Nima? Nemo's a football player. He likes being tackled.
And don't we all sometimes? So the DVD comes with recut scenes from some of the movies where you know, first time around, it was a lot of amateur footage. Bo and I were in jail during the making of this movie. And so afterwards, we were able to put more time into getting the highest quality footage available. So it's got better quality scenes. It's got DVD extras include two audio commentary tracks with one just solo. It's just me. And then one with Bo and Ian and I. And then that you get a printout of the Shire Choir song sheets, plus something like 7 extra hours of bonus footage that you can watch if you put the DVD into your computer. It's like it is literally packed to the brim. This is no shinsy.
It's basically like a time capsule of New Hampshire activism. You know, like put into a tiny little box that could be buried for 50 years and brought up by like another civilization. And they'd say they'd understand what was going on in New Hampshire.
Yeah. And if the project ever fails, if the Free State Project ever fails, I think this would be a great example for like aliens in a million years to look back and be like, oh, this is why civilization went to crap. Like,
I don't think the Free State Project could fail. I mean, what's the measure of success? There's a lot of statists there who say it's failed by existing, but you know, I mean, what's a failure and a success for a Free State Project?
Well, a failure is when the whole world blows up because we go to World War III and there's like nukes and everything, and humanity doesn't survive. That's the failure in my mind. But then you had a great question too, Michael, and I want to make sure that I don't just skip over that. Can you repeat it for me? Because I'm clueless.
I don't know. I still want to know about your Blue Yeti mic.
Oh, yeah, oh, it's sexy. Yeah. You should, like, Google an image of it.
Did you register it?
Did I register?
Yeah, did you send in the registration card for the warranty?
No.
We're encouraging people not to register their mics because we think they'll be coming after them when they're done with the guns.
That's brilliant. No, I didn't register. Although I did get a special, like, if this ever breaks. I travel a lot, so I always get the warranty on everything. You know, it's just a policy that came from my old world, which was where I worked at an accountant firm. Go figure. Anyway, yeah, this is a great movie. You should go buy it. The link is order.victimlesscrimespree.com. The movie's only $8.99. It's ridiculous. Go get it now. And you get Super Saver shipping through Amazon, plus Free Talk Live gets a kick. It's wins all over the place. Go and get yourself this movie.
What's $8.99? That's such a good price. That's cheaper than a double cheeseburger combo at Whataburger, man.
Yeah.
So get that and you'll be happy. Yeah, it'll last a lot longer. You'll be happy for several hours.
I used to spend more than that. I used to spend more than that in one night renting videos at my local Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster?
Wow. Oh, I remember. Heck yeah.
The free market spoke. How old are you guys? How old are you, Derek? I think I'm old enough to be your dad, Derek. How old are you? Don't call me daddy, though.
Chris Hansen is going to walk in any minute.
Yeah. Do we need to start giving our callers a list of things not to call Michael? Okay, ladies, daddy, what else?
Get some Randy.
just call me Randy.
Gross. So I'm thrilled to be doing this. Now that I'm out of jail.
We're going to keep you on for 2 segments because we've just stolen too much of your time here. We're going to keep you on. So, yeah, I'm going to keep bugging you.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to know about this picture of you and Ian in your suits. You kind of look like
Time Ian has worn a suit. Fact.
In his life?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you had to tie his tie, didn't you?
No, he came prepared. He can wear a suit, and he wears it well. I don't know why he doesn't dress up more often, but this was his producer role. This was the real life premiere. That's where we took that picture, and I really hate that picture, if I can say so. Like, I had this pair of jeans that I looked so good in, and I took them off to wear like dress pants, and they looked awful, and they didn't go with my shoes. It really ruined the premiere for me.
I think Chris Hansen is looking at this picture right now going, okay, what's the plan here?
Well, yeah, so we are good friends. There's no romance between Ian and I, but
I don't know. Isn't there always sort of an unspoken sort of romance between a producer and his subject of a documentary film?
I would think there's a bromance going on between all of the people in the Shire. I mean, really, it's something of a family for me. And when you spend so much time living with people and working on projects with them, literally, I didn't encounter any statists for most of the day that I lived in the Shire. I saw only anarchists. And that's a really beautiful thing, but it can also really...
So were you traveling in a, like, sovereign bubble 6 feet in diameter that kept the statists away?
Yeah, it was something like that, where no, really, there is a community there that's so networked that you can take an agorist cab from A to B, be in a house, or a private club. You know, it's totally stateless, and that's really a dream come true for me, and that's why I encourage people to move there.
Wow. Where are you now?
Right now, I'm in the great city of Philadelphia.
Hmm. We're freedom. Brotherly love.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, speaking of brotherly love...
Well, I do enjoy Philadelphia. I have to be here to have like a home base while I produce Peace News Now, which is my latest project. People can learn about it at peacenewsnow.com. There are a bunch of ways, you know, whatever your favorite social networking site is, we're on that, and you can look at us that way. But also, it's on YouTube, which is really exciting. A daily video, 5 minutes long. It's the most shareable thing in the world. It's all about positivity and peaceful independence. It's the kind of world I want to see. So
we're going to have more of Derek J after we go sell some stuff. Did you know, Derek J, that I've had more sex? I've had sex with more men than Dalbert has.
Get out.
I have. And I'm basically straight, man. So what's that say about him? Maybe he's just very monogamous and loving.
Hey.
So what do you think about that?
Well, he's choosy. You're not.
Touche.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Freedom Fiends here on Radio Free America and the Liberty Radio Network.
America. So yeah, we got Derek J here, and
hey.
Do an uncensored discussion here with Derek J, and pick his brain, and who knows, maybe we'll keep him on for the whole rest of the show, because Derek is completely awesome.
Yeah.
I think Michael had some things he wanted to ask Derek J about a specific beef with the Mr. Kokesh, is that right?
Oh, I wanted to talk more about how I've had sex with more men than Dalbert, but you said in the break.
Okay.
Well, let's start with that, and then we'll talk about one of the manliest men in the Liberty Movement, Adam Kokesh. But in the meantime, I don't know. I mean, I have been known to dress up in a frilly little something and have ladies stick things up me, or I don't know. Sometimes I'm the girl, but I don't think that makes me a homo, does it?
No, it does not. In fact, I just saw a beautiful picture today of a man holding a sign that said, I need feminism because I hate feeling unmanly because I like my girlfriend's strap-on or something like that.
I don't know, man. Feminism.
Like, I support that guy.
I don't support feminism. I don't support any ism that takes one group over another.
I'm with you. The message underneath was making fun of the feminism need, but I mean, I'm with that guy. I think, you know, being a guy who is gay, expects dicks and ass, like, that's a thing in our world that we talk about daily.
You're not girly, though, right? You don't like playing dressed up like girls, right?
No,
I didn't think so. You're, you know, if you put me and you next to each other and ask the average American, you know, which guy do you think likes to dress up in frilly stuff, they would pick you, not me. I look like Barney. Yeah, right. I look like Barney Rubble working as a.
That's why you need the frilly stuff.
Yeah, and it's not something I'd want to show anybody. Y'all don't need to see that. I'm 48 and not in great shape.
Yeah, we're not asking.
that pause there was the room for people to mentally picture that.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah, but you wear ascots, don't you?
I would if I had one. I think
ascots are gayer than a pile of men having anal sex. I really do.
I heard you saying that, and I thought it was great. But that's like actually where I started to cut in on this program was you and Nemo were talking about ascots and dissing them. And I couldn't believe it. It made me sweat. I got hot and red. I was like, I really had an emotional reaction to your dissing ascots. I think it's because of a love connection that I had with Fred from Scooby-Doo, and he wore an ascot. And you know, wow. Anything that Fred does, it can't be wrong. He was the one who always solved the mystery.
Well, we have something in common because I really have a thing for that. Who's the girl with the glasses from Scooby-Doo?
Velma.
Thelma.
Yeah. Velma.
Oh, okay, whatever her name is. Yeah,
I had a thing
for a cartoon character from Scooby-Doo.
I would have things to say about the fact that you guys even know the names of these people, but you know,
I didn't know the name.
I grew up with these guys. Yeah,
they're my heroes.
Well, I always say that Ben Stone is driving around the country with his wife in a van solving mysteries right now, and he is.
Ew.
What? What do you mean?
I think van, I just think like pedo.
No. Like, No, in an RV.
So to you, ascots are cool, but vans aren't.
No,
I see where your priorities lie.
Vans are the only kind of vehicle that like predators use to capture children.
That's really not probably true, but
like how
I don't know.
You can fit the most children that way.
When I think of a predator's vehicle, though, I think of a Ford Crown Victoria with cop lights on top more than anything.
Yeah. We did an episode called How the UN Wants to Take Your Children. And the picture, I went on Google Images and searched the phrase windowless van and got a picture of a windowless van and put a UN symbol on the side and then something that said free candy inside.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
You know who drives a windowless van? Chris Cantwell is hilarious to me. I mean, because like he's a good guy. I'm not dissing him at all, but it just cracks me up.
Who's that?
Dreams pedo. He was a gentleman who was guest hosting with Adam Kokesh over at the AVTM area. He's also a Keeniac. He was living in Keene for a while. He's just a guy in the Liberty Movement. He's a comedian. You've probably seen some of his stuff over at Porkfest.
Yeah. Well, I've never been to Porkfest, but I've seen the Porkfest videos.
Well, that's a
mistake. No, it isn't, man. I'm in Wyoming. Okay. I'm in Wyoming.
Well, I haven't been to Porkfest either.
Michael's kind of a pseudo hermit. He doesn't like to leave too much. He likes to stay in his bunker and broadcast to the
world. Polish my guns and read my Bible.
I'm aware of this. This is not a surprise to me. I'm just telling you, like, hey, man, I hear that there's this great thing called Porkfest, and I've never gone, and maybe this year should be both of our first year.
Oh, you haven't gone? Are you going to Liberty Forum?
Were you in jail? Okay.
Yes. You're in jail. I couldn't physically go. I got out.
Jail's another kind of Porkfest, isn't it?
Porkfest.
Yeah.
Did anyone try to molest you in jail?
Did anyone what?
Try to molest you in jail.
I wish. It was the loneliest place. I heard all these great things about how you get raped in jail, and I'm like, there are going to be some good-looking guys.
I don't think that's funny.
Like, really tight clothes. None of that.
Did you have your?
I think it's funny. It reminds me of that Arrested Development scene where George Senior is doing the scared straight, and he thinks it's to keep kids out of jail, but it's actually a church thing to keep gay kids from going gay, and he's telling them about jail, and they're like, is there a cover charge? Is he cute?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I tried to have my share of relationships. I was in there for 2 months, you know, what's a guy gonna do?
Yeah, so, that's not prison, though. Prison's a little different. Did you edit your movie in jail? You said Bo was in there during the making.
Yeah, I had a 540-day sentence that I only served 60 days of.
Did you edit your movie in jail?
In prison. We did. We actually worked on the movie while we were in jail. I was visited
by
Bo Davis.
You had your computer there?
No. You can't have a computer in jail. Are you crazy? No. We worked on pads of paper, And we would like draw up like who do we want to interview, you know, what kind of points do we need to make, what songs are going to be in it. This was another thing, like, because while I didn't have a radio, songs would still be coming to me in my head, you know, and like a lot of the music was chosen from jail. I didn't get to actually select it myself, and Bo did a lot of great music selections too. But yeah, so we actually physically worked on this movie from jail.
I think a lot of important work in any long form media happens on paper, and part of my process with the four documentaries I've made is they say that Hollywood films are directed for the second time in the editing, and documentary films, you know, like dramas are directed for the second time in the editing, and documentaries are directed for the first time in the editing. And basically what I do with editing is I just start pulling clips in and putting them in a timeline and then output DVDs. And I watch them with a legal pad of paper, you know, large pad of paper there, taking notes of what to change in it. And I do that about 40 times and then the movie's done.
Right. Yeah. So it was a very similar experience for me, actually, because, you know, before I went to jail, I was on house arrest. So I had plenty of time to watch all of my footage. And I made a huge Google Doc that Ian and Bo and I shared. And it had all of the timestamps and the videos and the links to the videos that I wanted to become the movie. And nice. So that's what Bo used to just pull the clips and put them in where they belong, sync them up real nice and sweet, add music, and it was a total compilation.
Where can people get this DVD?
They can get the DVD at order.victimlesscrimespree.com. That'll bring you to an Amazon link that kicks a little bit of money into FTL, or you can watch it for free at victimlesscrimespree.com.
More Derek J after we go sell some stuff. Worms, worms, worms. The worm has a long tail. The worm has a long tail on Radio Free America.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Victimlesscrimespree.com. And you're still hungry for more peaceful resistance? Head to order.victimlesscrimespree.com to pre-order Victimless Crime Spree, the director's cut, on DVD. The DVD not only features the exciting full-length Disobedient documentary which started it all, but it's also loaded with special features and bonus content such as movie trailers, printable activist outreach materials, official Chronic Carol song sheets, two insightful audio commentary tracks, a special question and answer session from the real-life premiere with producers Ian Freeman and Bo Davis, and hours of full-length activist videos. Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree Director's Cut debuts February 19th. Reserve yours today at the special pre-order price of just $8.99. Order.victimlesscrimespree.com.
Right, we're back on Freedom Fiends Live. This is our Sunday show. It is February 10th, and we've got Derek J on the line, and also, of course, Michael W. Dean. And Michael wanted to check Derek's beef.
Bend over and cough so I can feel your beef. Do you have an enlarged beef?
Oh, God. You bet.
So, you got on the internets and made a video talking to Adam Kokesh and for some reason shared it with the rest of us. Do you want to explain what that was about? And then he replied...
Sure. So I worked with Adam during the summer after I got out of jail and did my community service. I was like, great, what do I do next? I'm going to travel the country and film other people and do all this great stuff. And I was like, well, I should make some money first because I've been on, you know, in jail, and I've also been on house arrest. So I wasn't really able to make money while I was up there. And
don't you know about chatterbait.com?
No.
Chatterbait.com is a site where you go on and people pay you to masturbate on camera.
No way.
You can do that from house arrest.
What? Now I know. Yeah. Now you tell me.
Dude, that's
what
you call.
I'm going to do it anyway.
I know. That's, you know, you could just hang up now. I mean, you've got what you, that's the best thing anyone's told you all week.
I'm quitting the fiends now.
Well, that's how we can get our comrades, Nima.
So I was looking for some ways to make money. And then out of the blue, Adam calls me, you know, he calls me like, I don't know, in the middle of the summer. He says, hey, you know, I'm working on this show that I want to debut and I want you to produce it. So here's my idea. It's a 20-minute internet news show 5 days a week. It models The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. It'll be funny. It'll be informative. You know, we'll have guests. You can do your own segments, and you know, all I need you to do is compile a team of writers. You know, and then you just manage the writers, and you'll produce the show. And so I was like, all right, great. You know, I need some time to think about this. You know, because I've got some of my own things going on. And he's like, all right, well, you know, this I'm looking to. It would be a paid gig, and it would be. You would be able to expect about $200 to $250 a week based on about 100,000 or 200,000 views per episode. And it was so that's the figures that he jotted down to me. He also said I would be able to live over at AVTM Studios, and that sounded pretty nice. And what else was part of the gig? Oh, travel. That travel would be paid for because I told him, like, look, I'm going to be traveling around the country. I can't just be in one place. So he was like, all right, well, it'll be 4 days a week, 4 hours a week, just Monday through Thursday. And that's all I need from you, you know, and then you can go and on the weekends you can do your thing. It wasn't clear if he was going to pay for that travel too. Probably not, but, you know, he wasn't specified. So fast forward to I work with him after a month, and I'm like, or after a week, I'm like expecting pay. And so I ask, like, hey, how about pay now? Cause, you know, it's been a week or whatever. He's like, oh, well, you know, we don't have that yet. We're going to have to wait, you know, a month before, you know, any pay can come in. We're going to look at the view counts and everything. So I was like, all right, okay, I'll wait a month. And then, so the next month went by, and, I was like, hey, it's payday. You know, how about that pay now? And he was like, well, we need to wait another month because, you know, the videos that you just made, they haven't been going a month. So we need to wait a month after the month to see what the total view counts are going to be. I'm like, fine. So the next payday comes, and I was like, hey, how about pay? And he was like, oh, well, we haven't calculated those numbers. I was like, all right, I'm getting, you know, I was getting frustrated. I was like, I need pay today, like, or this week. Like, this has to happen. You can't just blow me off. So he had a little meeting, we talked, and he came up with some numbers, and then he said he wanted to pay me $66 for the first month of work, and this differed greatly from the, like, $1,000 that I was expecting. And so I was upset, but I was like, all right, look, you know, whatever, I'll take it in Bitcoin, let's just keep going and grow this show, because this is not what I am looking for. I had signed on for a four-month commitment, so, you know, that was my word, I would give him my best. And mind you, during this month, I worked way more than 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. I was giving 12-hour days, sometimes 18-hour days, and that's not an exaggeration. The others at the firm can verify that. And so this got ridiculous to the point where after 3 months of working there, I had to say, look, you've broken your promise to me. This is not what we came for. The final straw that broke the camel's back was when I was no longer the writer or producer of the show. It was no longer a 20-minute show. It was a 5-minute show that was going to be written and produced by another person who had no experience doing the show. And so I was just out completely. And then I was asked to just be a co-host. And I was like, no. This is an agreement. I moved my life. I moved into this studio to be a part of this show and to make it happen. I made it a reality. I've stuck to my word. And now I'm getting screwed. You're cutting me right out. And so that I had to leave because of that. That all happened quietly. I didn't make any stink about that. I didn't go to the YouTube audience. I didn't say a word. And just left, did my thing, said, all right, that was a bad experience.
Now, was your pay supposed to be based on performance or was it a set amount?
It was supposed to be weekly pay according to our original agreement that we got a verbal contract on. And he predicted that I would be paid $200 to $250 a week based on YouTube views.
So he broke his word, you're saying?
Well, he didn't break his word quite literally. He was more like fraudulent in advertising because the views were nowhere near what would garnish or what would become $200 a week. You know, the views just weren't to that level. And so he was predicting 100 to 200,000 views per episode, and it was really closer to 1 or 2,000 views per episode. And so I wasn't getting anything to live on. Meanwhile, I'm living off of my YouTube earnings, which is maybe $5 to $10 a day if I have a really good day. And so I was living on like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, living in his house while he's got $100 steaks filling out the fridge.
So does he sleep at night? You know, it's like people say, how do you sleep at night? Does he sleep at night on a pile of money with many beautiful women?
Look, well, okay, so yeah, if you're going to use the metaphor, I can say yes, because in the house where we lived, you know, he had the big suite, the room that was the master bedroom. It has a sauna in it. You know, it's got the nice private bathroom, shower and everything, and private everything. It overlooks the area. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful home. I've got nothing wrong with people who are successful. I've got no problem with
that. Isn't his dad a billionaire? Owns a gun company?
His dad is a famous venture capitalist in Santa Fe, and you can look that up on Wikipedia and verify that, yeah, Charles Kokesh, I believe, is his name. So, yeah, he's got no money problems. There is no problem with money in my experience, because I saw that he pays other people. He's paid new employees who started working after I left. They've been paid, but I haven't. And so, look, I did. I went out to the YouTube audience and I made a video saying, look, just as I would an eBay seller who screwed me over, I have to sound the alarm about someone who did something fraudulent and he's in the community. You know, if it was someone outside of the community, if I was screwed by Joe Blow down the street, I wouldn't make a stink about it. But this is something that's going to affect other people's lives. This is something that I heard stories about, but no one ever came out and made it on record. No one said, yeah, Adam screwed me over and put it out there for the world to see. If someone had done that before I signed up with him, then I wouldn't have gotten screwed. Everything would have been fine because someone had the courage to come forward and say that they were screwed by him. I think that people are too afraid to do it because they're afraid of the backlash that's going to happen. Surely backlash happened to me.
He made a response video, which my only problem with his response video, I mean, well, I don't know what was true and what wasn't, and I'm going to ask you that, but my problem with his response video was he didn't say who he was responding to or link your video, and it was just confusing. I mean, I think he was trying to come off as polite, like, there's this person out there. Every third comment was, who the hell are you talking about? You know, it didn't really make sense, and it's pod beef 101. It's internet beef rules 101. You know, when you're responding to the East Coast, West Coast rap beef, you name the guy and that you're responding to. So it didn't really make sense to me. We'll have more from Derek J when we come back. How you doing, Nima?
Doing well.
Good. Good. The chair is against the worm. The chair is against the worm on Radio Free America.
This is live. We are back. Our final segment. We still have Derek J on the line. We want to wrap this whole beef thing up real quick in some nice butcher paper and send it on down to the refrigerator and get on with more positive things. I do think we need to wrap it up. Derek, from hearing the story, it seems like one lesson to learn moving forward would be, even though we're libertarians and we work with other people in the community and some of us are agorist and voluntarist and various other things, and we're supposed to think that we're trustworthy in all this, no matter who it is, I'm a big fan of the phrase trust but verify. And I think when it comes to working with somebody, a contract is really important because of this. Having something down in writing before either party commits itself to working together. Me and Michael wrote out a contract when we started Guns and Weed. I don't think I've ever looked at it since because we've never had a conflict. But it seems like something like that.
I send you money.
Because you send me money. Yeah, exactly. To me, that's the lesson to learn. Did you guys have any kind of thing in writing before you started working, you and Kokesh, Derek?
Well, thanks for asking, Ima. That's a great point that everything should be in writing. And that is certainly a lesson that I learned, that I was much too trusting when Adam asked me if he could have my verbal handshake, and that I should have just said, well, yes, but also let's get this in writing. No, I didn't have the initial agreement in writing, but what is in writing and what I have made public at my blog at livefreeordance.com are the email exchanges between Adam and I, where he offered $450 and I accepted. And then I said, he asked me where to send the money, and I gave him the address and a couple of methods of payment that he could use. And so a week went by, and I was emailing, and I wasn't hearing from him. You know, this was not like, one email once a week. It was an email conversation that we were having throughout the day, and then it suddenly stopped at the point where he was supposed to pay.
Did you ever see the movie Repo Man, Derek?
No.
Great movie, and great cheesy funny movie, and there's a really good line in it that comes to mind, which maybe this could sum it up and we can move on, but I'm sure you got more to say. You could talk for hours about it, but the line is effing millionaires never pay their bills.
Well, yeah. So that is sort of the lesson, I guess, that I learned. That's the scoop. And that Adam hasn't paid me the $450 that he said he would. You know, for the 2 months of work, he paid $22.50 and called it even. If that's even to him, then sure. But he makes his own choices. He makes his own bed. He has to sleep in it. And I'm just thankful that I don't have to deal with any people like him, because I've got wonderful people that I can talk with and right. be around and do work with. So, thankfully, I'm not reliant on him in any way. And I can just kiss that money goodbye and say, lesson learned. It was not as expensive as it could have been.
Exactly. Anyway, great news. You only spent 2 months doing it. I spent 3 years doing TV before I realized, hey, this isn't working for me. So 2 months, not too bad of a time to learn a lesson. And it sounds like you've got some exciting things to tell us about what's coming up from Derek J, right?
Yeah, and so I can still be proud of the things I produced, and whatever. It's still part of my CV, so to speak. But right now, I'm working on a really exciting project that literally grips me from, well, I guess not literally, but it's got my attention from the moment I wake up to the minute I fall asleep. It consumes my day. Peace News Now is all about bringing the news of peaceful evolution around the globe to more ears. I think that there's this horrible problem where people are consumed by media and news that is negative. There's a lot of tyranny coming down the pipes, and it's good to hear some good news. And that's what I try and provide over at Peace News Now. We're 40 episodes in. They're all 5 minutes long, and you can go back and enjoy the anthology of them, so to speak.
I'm glad you're doing that, and I didn't know you were doing that. And a friend of mine recently registered a domain name, and he just liked it. Was hopeandliberty.com, and there's nothing there yet, just a kind of like more to come. But he's like, what should I do with this? And I'm like, why don't you make a site that's only the Freedom Fix news? Don't talk about the failures or the tyrants coming after us, but just post the things that are good news about liberty.
I'm so with that old stuff. Like in 2009, 2010, when I was just getting into Liberty, I was obsessed with like Alex Jones types figures where they're always talking about like, my friends, the tyranny is coming down the hole. You know, it's like, I don't want to hear about tyranny anymore. You know, I know that the government's bad. I've been arrested. I did a movie. Like, I get it. Yeah. Now I want to focus on, where do we move going forward? What do we do if we want the peaceful world of the future? And this is my solution. You know, every day I've got at least some of the listeners got to hear one of the episodes because it played in between this show. But you get to hear positive news stories. The one that was featured today, the mayor of Bristol in England is taking his salary in local currency that was created in September of last year. I mean, that's exciting. That's liberating. That's independence, you know? And the Bitcoin is mentioned in every episode. I get an update on the Shire in every episode. And so there are things that people can do to declare independence in their own lives. And I think that's what people need to be hearing, not about like, oh my God, Obama's coming for your guns, but hey, this is a way that you can manufacture your own gun, you know? Positive stories of self-improvement and independence.
You know, Cody Wilson.
I definitely feel like for change to happen in the world, you need those two things to be understood. The first, I think it is important to understand that something's wrong. You have to know that there's a symptom. But, you know, in order to actually do something about it, you have to know that there's ways to cure, that there's actually a cure out there, and that people can actually do things and are doing things to bypass all the tyranny. And so if you have only one and not the other, then I think people just sit there and they accept the government as a foregone conclusion, and they just accept the tyranny, and they stay slaves. So I'm really excited about this whole segment, not just Peace News Now, but any kind of thoughts as towards work for more solution oriented and letting people know that, hey, it doesn't have to be tyranny all the time.
Right. And wouldn't it be awful if, like, after Victimless Crime Spree, I just kept going with like negativity, like, oh, the government is just going to harass and kill people. Like, no, there's a positive message after all of this, which is, you know, Peace News Now aims to provide the most shareable liberty content in the world. It's just 5 minutes, so it fits into anyone's schedule. And it's refreshing because it's peace winning out over war and slavery. And I should mention that it comes in a high quality audio and video formats for maximum accessibility. And so some of the things that Peace News Now covers are action takers. It's all about what action can you take. So we've covered stories on the vigilantism of Phoenix Jones, vote with your feet solutions like the Free State Project, whistleblowers like Bradley Manning, independent private charities like Shire Sharing, civil disobedience like Mega Upload, and as I mentioned, alternative currencies. So this is about positivity and about improving your own life, declaring independence.
Nice. Do you know what Cody Wilson is calling his new 30-round printable mag design?
I give up.
The Cuomo after the governor of New York.
That's brilliant. That's beautiful. That's humor. That's what I like to see. People declaring independence and doing it humorously.
Nima? Sorry. Yeah. One other suggestion I have. I'm looking at the site right now, and it does look great, and it does look ultimately shareable. Have you thought of actually taking the text of your script for the videos and putting that, embedding that somewhere in there for somebody who maybe can't access audio or video at a certain time?
Oh, this again. Okay.
If you're on my website, you can see that every podcast, every blog every post has all of my show notes in it.
And so show notes. I'm seeing. Okay. Yeah.
You know what would be a good like kind of fiend sourcing, you know, crowdsourcing thing would be to find someone who wants to, you know, I'm sure you get people who want to help, and a really easy thing to tell someone how to do, it's not the easiest thing to do, but is to get someone to transcribe your whole movie and then get another person to check it against the movie and then release it as a Word document for people that want to take the video and make subtitles in other languages.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, what a great job. That would be really helpful for spreading and spreading the word.
We did that with the Guns and Weed movie.
Well, that sounds like a very cool thing that people could do if they have a little bit of extra time. I certainly don't have any extra time.
Yeah.
Peace News Now, creating a high-quality audio podcast and video every day just takes it all out of me. So
yeah, I hate transcribing, but it's literally one of the easiest things to describe to someone how to do if they're interested in doing it. And then, of course, you have to get another person to check it, because in typing something that long, there will be a few mistakes here and there. But Derek J on the Freedom Fiends, and you'll be back in an upcoming Anarchy Gumbo hour-long episode when after we've seen the DVD, which is winging its way to us. Thanks for being on, Derek. You there, Nima?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say goodbye, Nima.
Bye, Nima.
Bye, Nima. Worms.